second hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday morning here in Middle Tennessee. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe alongside. Three more hours to go, 1 hour in the book. Kevin Harvick yesterday got it done at Dover, his seventh cup win already on the young season. And we are very excited in this market to talk about a cup race coming back to these parts, first time since the 80s, and that will happen next June in 2021. And they have a new president, a new track president out there at the Nashville Super Speedway. His name is Eric Moses. He now joins us. Eric, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for doing this. Congratulations on getting the job. I mean, you were the the president of the XFL for the DC Defenders. It's only natural to go from the XFL to NASCAR. So how did this all happen?
It is a well-worn tradition to go from football to NASCAR. As Coach Gibbs will tell you, right?
So, yes.
There's some precedent for it. I have had the good fortune of knowing Mike Titoyan, who runs Dover International Speedway and is the COO of Dover Motorsports for some time. We, in fact, going back to football, serve on a board of directors for the Military Bowl together. And he invited me up to Dover last October for a race, and we had a chance to spend some time together and kind of developed a friendship following that. At the time that they started thinking about bringing a cup race back to Nashville, we had some conversations about whether or not that challenge would be something that I'd be interested in. And the more I heard about it, the more intrigued I was, and here we are.
So what intrigued you about it when you said did you have interest? Obviously you told him yes. What about this sport intrigued you?
Well, I've long admired NASCAR in particular for the way that it treats its fans and the immersive element that they have for fans. The fact that I came up to Dover last year was really to steal good ideas for our pending football season, right? I was trying to figure out, NASCAR does this so well, what can we steal that we can do for the XFL? And so that's been interesting to me for a long time. Nashville is an undeniably hot city, and one of the hottest in the country, I think, for all things live events, particularly music and sports, and a world-class city on the rise. And so the notion of rebuilding something, rebooting something for a cup race in Middle Tennessee, where I know there's such a rich history of this sport in that town and such pent-up demand, frankly, for Cup Series racing, those are the things that really got me excited.
Well, you're hitting all the points, man. You well done by you, and you're right. This market is craving this, and I think you're going to see that next year. They will respond. The first go around, we don't really count because it was all built on, we thought a cup race was going to come and it didn't happen. But this go around, I think, will be pleasing for all involved. So you just brought up this market. Obviously, we're familiar. We've been here. We know what it's like. But for you to say that as an outsider, have you spent much time in Nashville? Have you been to Nashville? Kind of give us your lay of the land in this market. Have you spent much time here at all? Or any?
Yeah, I've probably visited Nashville about five times in the last 5 years.
Okay.
I had the good fortune of celebrating my parents' 40th wedding anniversary in Nashville with my sister and my folks the same weekend you all were hosting the NHL All-Star Game. And so,
oh, wow.
That gave me an opportunity to see the city kind of lit up and energized in a way that I thought was pretty special. Obviously, all the rich history there and music. And I said from that trip on that that Nashville was one of these towns that I really admired a lot and thought could be a good place to be at some point in my future. So I like it a lot, have friends and colleagues and professional associates out there, but I'm looking to meet many, many more folks and to invite them out to the Super Speedway to see some great racing and hopefully some other fantastic events that we'll put on there.
Eric Moses on the line with us. You become the first black track president in NASCAR history. One, Eric, what does that mean to you? And two, with some of the things that have happened in the sport earlier this year with Bubba Wallace and everything, the sport has got a lot of growing to do, as we know. But one, let's just start with, what does that mean to you, and how do you think you can change a certain mentality in the sport of NASCAR with the fans and with the drivers, everybody involved?
Well, it's a humbling honor. I am not naive enough to believe that I'm the first person of color who's qualified enough to be a track president for NASCAR. And so while being chosen to fulfill that role at this time is humbling, and I'm thankful to the folks at Dover Motorsports and to our colleagues at NASCAR for their confidence in me and my ability to do that. I know that there were people before me that could have probably easily done that as well. You know, I got hired to do a job, and that was based on the things that I've done over my career. And so I'm going to be focused on that job. If there are other ways that I can help our sport continue to cast a very broad net so that all people know, all sports fans know that they are welcome at NASCAR events, and they will certainly be welcome at Nashville Super Speedway, then I'm going to do that because I want to see the sport grow. I know NASCAR wants to see the sport grow. Dover certainly wants to see the sport grow. And I think real NASCAR fans want to see that as well. I mean, we want the stands to be like they were in the early 2000s, right? We want 100,000 people watching these races. And I think to get there, you have to grow. You can't hunker down and avoid change. And all the ways that change probably needs to come around in order to make the sport as appealing as it can be. Because we got a great product. And I think the more that folks are introduced to that product and have a chance to come to understand it and to feel it and to be out at the track and feel that rumble and see that excitement, I think we're going to be do just fine in bringing people out to more NASCAR races.
There's not a sports talk show in this market that's been out and done more stuff at the track than this show right here. So we're very familiar with that track out in Gladeville.
Yep.
You just brought up 100,000 people. So let's just start there. Do you have any idea of what type of attendance you're looking for, like stands-wise, what you have to do? I know this is still very early, but, you know, do you have a kind of an idea of what you're targeting 10 months from now?
I don't. It's a little premature for that. I mean, I'm always targeting a sellout in everything I do, so we're going to set the bar there. Right now, our grandstand pulled 25,000. But they can easily be supplemented as necessary for larger crowds. And I'm hoping that, you know, all of Middle Tennessee and, frankly, all of the state and that region is going to be so energized by the time we get to June of 2021 to see some racing and to see some racing at that racetrack that we will far and away hopefully blow past that 25,000 capacity. Now we're going to need a little help from the scientists and the medical professionals and others to deal with this pandemic, so that people can feel comfortable coming out. But, you know, we're going to try to make certain that we draw as many people as possible. But at this point, it's too early for me to say exactly what we're looking for.
Eric Moses is with us. He's the new president of the Nashville Super Speedway. So how did your experience in the XFL, and, you know, it wasn't just a new franchise, it was a new league, to get that off the ground, how does that prepare you for, even though, yes, there has been racing at this track before, but it's been more than a decade and it's never been cup racing, how does it kind of prepare you to build it up from scratch once again?
Great question. I mean, you know, my career has pretty much been marked by startups and turnarounds. You know, I like to think of myself as a builder. I come in and have had the privilege of coming into several organizations and seeking to put forward a vision and a plan to get those organizations headed in the right direction, from staffing to our operational goals and key performance metrics, to visibility and everything in between, and obviously in sports ticket sales. So that experience most recently with the XFL, as you say, starting not only a team but a league at the same time, I used to tell people it was like building a plane while flying it. At least this track is a known entity. We need it to be more known and visible for everyone in the sport and everyone who admires the sport. But people know what NASCAR is. They know what cup racing is. And so I feel like I have a benefit now that I'm not outselling something where I have to describe to people how what we're doing is a little bit different than what they're used to and all of that. This is a known quantity. And what we're going to do is figure out what do people like, what do NASCAR fans want to see more of, what does the sport need more of, and then try to give them those things that they want and deserve.
NASCAR is a sport that is known for its personalities because you're a fan of the driver. You're not a fan of a team. You're a fan of the individual driver. Nashville is obviously known for personalities and a city that has personalities. So I know you talked about being creative, but what are some ways early on that you're thinking about of trying to combine those two personalities to help promote your event?
Yeah, it's a little early for specifics, but I think we would be foolish to ignore the energy, the reputation, and the rich history of music in Music City. And not to figure out ways to take advantage of that connection. You know, there's a joke that all musicians want to be athletes and athletes want to be, you know, musicians or movie stars. And so I think if we can take advantage of those folks in and around Nashville who may be big time, musicians and other notable folks, and get them associated with and coming out to the track and having an appreciation for what we do. I think that'll serve us all pretty well. There will be more specific ideas as time goes on, but marrying that music and that live entertainment that folks are accustomed to in Nashville in particular to this sport is something that I think we should do more of, and I'm looking forward to it's something I set my sights on.
I'm curious of your thoughts on this. I know that it was reported when it was announced that the Cup Series was coming back to Nashville that it would probably be June, either early or mid-June. NASCAR has not released next year's schedule yet because they've been trying to finish this one with everything going on. But from your standpoint, with the schedule that they've kind of changed it up the last couple of years, they're wanting to do that more in 2021, are you hopeful to have – since it's a new track to the schedule, that you would want a set date for a couple of years to try and get that established, or are you open to maybe moving around as they try and construct the schedule?
You know, I'm not exactly certain. I mean, the promoter in me says pick a date, have a date year over year that people can put on the calendar and lock it in so they can make their plans, not only to come from Middle Tennessee, but to come from all over the country. To Lebanon, to Glaville, in order to visit our race. That said, I'm sure there are other things and variables that have to be taken into account to ensure that our race gets the most visibility it can get, whether that's with the broadcasters or because of where it lands in the schedule. And I wouldn't pretend to know the answer to those things right now. So I think we'll be open. But certainty in this business is usually a pretty good thing, so that your fans and your customers can count on when the show is going to happen, and hopefully to make plans to be back year after year.
Willie,
of the Nashville Super Speedway, which is reopening here soon behind Dover Motorsports, and Eric, we were just watching the Indy 500. Yesterday, there was a time, and as Darren referenced, that we were all there on the.
Think we may have had a connection issue with.
Oh no,
with Willie.
He got zapped. He got zapped.
We can try and read his mind if he was asking about the potential of IndyCar coming back. I think that's where he was going with that, and I know you're just getting there, and that may not have been discussed, but. It's NASCAR right now, but I would assume that the hope is to have even more and potentially IndyCar being a part of that like they were in the past.
Yeah, my goal is going to be to make a Super Speedway a premier venue in Middle Tennessee for all manner of things, in particular auto racing of any and all kinds we can get there. So I haven't been involved in any of those discussions yet. I have heard the speculation. I am aware of the past and the fact that there was some IndyCar racing there. I think we're going to be open and creative about bringing events and bringing activity to the campus and to the Super Speedway so that we can invite more and more fans out to our venue to experience it.
Do we have Willie back?
Very good job, Chase, picking me up here.
Okay. Got you.
Am I okay? Am I
Teamwork.
Coming in better, guys?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Eric, I apologize there. Chase, thanks for picking me up there. That was where I was going with that question. Eric, your story is so unique. It's really interesting to me. I'm wondering, for me, my perspective, I'm a hockey announcer now who spent a lot of his adolescence in Florida where there was no hockey. And a lot of my high school friends always ask me, how in the world could you have envisioned yourself calling hockey games in NASCAR or any kind of racing? Could you have ever envisioned yourself in this position?
Not specifically, but I'm also the type of person who doesn't kind of plan out every single stop on the journey. You know, I'm really focused on the journey and have always in my career been focused on the types of opportunities that allow me to do what I do best. And I thought that this one fell right into that sweet spot, being able to build something basically from scratch, being able to work with a fan base that I know is passionate about their sport, is passionate about their state, and is passionate about these drivers. So this falls in line from that perspective. I never said, growing up, I want to be commissioner of the NFL or something like that. I'm just not that type of person. But I do look for the right kinds of opportunities to allow me to add value and to bring value and to work with good people. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, a big part of my decision to take on this opportunity was being able to work with Mike Detoyen and Dennis McGlynn and the folks at Dover Motorsports who, you know, to a man or woman that I've spoken to that has done business with those folks or know them personally, they are described as fantastic people and great human beings. And so I'm looking forward to working with them. I had a real nice conversation with Steve Phelps before my announcement. And he was quite welcoming to me, to the NASCAR family, as have other NASCAR executives have been as well. So I'm really excited to get started. I'm excited to get boots on the ground in Nashville, Middle Tennessee. And I'm overdue for some hot chicken. So I gotta get out there sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there needs to be a hot chicken stand out there at the track. That's something we need for sure.
At least one.
At least one for sure. I will say this. I'll echo what you said, Eric. When this announcement first came down, this has been, I don't know, several months ago. Chase, you have a time frame for me? I don't know. How long was it ago when we talked to Mike when this was first announced?
June-ish.
Oh, really? It feels like even longer than that. I think all the days are running together. But
end of May, early June.
We'll echo what you said. We had a really, really nice phone conversation with him. Enjoyed it, just like this one. And just, I'm going to let you know, Eric, Mike did give us the go-ahead. The next time we're out the track, we can take our cars around for laps. So he has given us that okay. Are you willing, now that you're in your position, to okay what Mike told us? Is it still okay?
Look, I can tell we're all going to be fast friends, so pun intended. So yes, it's okay with me after you sign the very lengthy waiver that I will present to each of you.
Well,
smart
done
man. Smart man.
Eric, congratulations. We are looking forward to getting to know you better and to meet you here down the road. Thanks for doing this, and I guess we will talk to you soon.
Thank you much. Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm looking forward to being in touch and looking forward to getting to Nashville very soon. Thanks again for the support.
All right. That is Eric Moses. He is the new track president out at the Nashville Super Speedway. Yes, if you didn't know, a cup race is coming back to this area next year. It's probably targeted for June. Like, that's not set in stone. But all hints and signs are pointing toward next June, sometime in 2021, a cup race back here, and it'll be out at the Super Speedway. And that is a welcoming sight for the ears and hopefully for the eyes next year to see it back in this market. We will come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. This is What I Know coming up in about 25 minutes or so. We'll also head east. We'll check in with Vince Ferrara at noon. More coming here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Eric Moses. You just heard it. After a lengthy, probably waiver we'll have to sign, I think he just gave us the okay. We are going to have the cars do laps again. we'll have that reunion again.
I don't know when.
I don't know when, but at some point. In all seriousness, that was a good stuff from him. He becomes the new track president out at the Nashville Super Speedway. As I said, first black track president in NASCAR history. So there's significance with that as well. And I do agree with him when he said he's not the only one who's qualified to do this job. And hopefully that will pave the way for others in other tracks around the country. But we are excited about that. Willie, I know you had a question you wanted to throw out there.
Hang on real quick. Mike Tatoyan actually just tweeted at me, and he says he was listening to the interview, and yes, bring your car on the track. See you soon.
Outstanding.
Oh, baby.
Outstanding. We did have a great conversation with him.
Yes.
Oh, yes. He did. You're right. He did say, hey, guys, bring your cars. Bring your cars, gents, were his exact words.
Yep. So there we go. The big cheese is saying that we can do that. So go ahead. I just wanted to get that in there.
Well, I feel like I feel like Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World. We got the backstage passes to the Alice Cooper concert.
I know.
Right there.
I know.
Well, I didn't want it. I didn't want that to get lost in the shuffle. It's been some time since we talked to Mike, and I wanted to make sure that was still. We had the words. We kept the clip, but I just wanted to make sure that was still in play. You've got a new boss here. I mean, I know Mike is over Dover Motorsports, but now that Eric is the track president here, he's the new Cliff Hawks, right? That's what Cliff had. Willie, that we used to enjoy dealing with Cliff Hawks when he was the track president the first go-around at the Nashville Super Speedway. Now it's Eric Moses, and just wanted to make sure that was still out there. You said we're having an exchange in our group text, and Chase, you said you were going to ask him, or Willie, I think you said it, actually, that you're going to ask about what do they need to do. Remember, we talked about that with Mike. I think right now it's, for him, the only reason we didn't ask is because, he's not even here. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's going to need to get here and figure out a lot of things. I'm not sure he would have been kind of like my attendance question, which I know was premature, but he threw out 100,000. So I was like, no, wait a minute. Are you telling us that's the plan? Because it's built for 25. They've had with the temps in the past, I think 50,000. At some of the races back the first go around. And so when he threw out 100,000, I just wanted to make sure that, if they had already talked about that and that was going to be the plan, I wanted him to say it. Obviously he didn't say that, but maybe just threw out that number. So that's the reason I think we didn't address, what do they need to do? Because I think they're currently trying to figure all that out.
Yeah. And I would say that,
right. So well, I had another question though. I think the Dover thing. Obviously, they've got resources, and I'm excited that they're back in the game. They vanished off the face of the earth for a long time in terms of our city for years. Right. We have these vivid memories, Darren, of driving our cars around the track, and every year we would go to all of the events, and we had big shows planned around them, and it was really cooking for a while. And, that was then. So my question to you guys is, we spent a lot of time and energy as a city talking about reviving the fairgrounds in cahoots with building the soccer stadium. And, honestly, the Nashville SC had their plans pushed back a whole year because of trying to get all the details worked out about that. And we had this great push to bring big events back to the fairgrounds. Is that completely scrapped now, Chase? I mean, you've been following this. We've completely, because this has sort of dropped out of the sky in a real short period of time. Boom, Dover's back in the game. We've got a date. They're coming, right? And so that just completely changed the whole face of this whole thing.
Well, so here's the here's kind of the quick backstory on all of this. So NASCAR has been interested in Nashville for a while now. And the thought process was the fairgrounds. The city had an agreement with someone to run the track. And then Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, which is Bruton and Marcus Smith, they own Atlanta, Charlotte, Bristol. they had meetings and we're going to do like a joint thing to run the fairgrounds, to fix up the track, to get it up to the standards that it needs to be at, which there is obviously a lot of work that has to be done over there, much more than the Nashville Super Speedway, to get it ready for NASCAR racing. Not just the Cup Series, but, you know, anything. So those talks were ongoing, and they're still ongoing. That deal is not dead by any means. In fact, there have been questions asked and discussions, and NASCAR is very interested in having two races in Nashville, one at the Super Speedway and one at the fairgrounds. The problem is the city has to give the go-ahead, and they have to make the agreement with the SMI folks to get this going, because there's been renders, they had a price, they had a plan of how they were going to pay for it. It's just the city has to go, all right, we're ready to do this. And they had the soccer stadium stuff going on, and it's been a very slow process. And then now with the pandemic, that's obviously slowed things down. But I would say that from what I have heard and people I have talked to, that it's still going to happen. It's probably a couple years out, but NASCAR is very interested in it. The Dover thing came about because NASCAR is going through wanting to change the schedule up quite a bit, because it's been pretty much the same for a decade or more. And so they wanted to add some races. They wanted to go to some new places. At the banquet last year that was in Nashville, they had discussions with Dover and said, hey, we're probably going to take a race from you, because they have two. We're probably going to move that somewhere, just so you know. Well, Dover then said, well, we know you want to come to Nashville. We still own that track. Would you be willing to discuss us taking one of our races and putting it at Nashville, so it's still in the family? And NASCAR, of course, said, yeah, absolutely, if you're willing to put in, you know, what needs to be done to fix it up, because it's, again, been 10 years since they've had anything out there. And so that's how that came to be. But the fairgrounds thing is not dead by any means. I believe that's going to be the plan in the near future, is to have one Cup race out at the fairgrounds and one out at the Super Speedway.
That sounds great to me, but what happens from here? Are they continuing along the same path in terms of doing the infrastructure, that whole project that we spent months and months putting together? Is that still going forward, or does this affect the fairgrounds part of the equation here because this has come in? I would hate to see down the road some sort of situation where the two entities are competing against one another for events. You know what I'm saying? In a worst-case scenario. I don't want to see that.
No, I think they're two separate deals. And I don't think that – everybody that I've talked to that's in the know has said that this doesn't affect the fairgrounds, that the fairgrounds thing is just the city has to get it going. I mean, it's the city has control of that racetrack, and so they're the ones that decide the timeline and have to get it moving on that. But the deal with Dover Motorsports and the Nashville Super Speedway is a separate deal, and everybody is aware of the other one and cool with the other one, because the contract that Dover has with NASCAR, I believe, was for 4 years with the Super Speedway. So they're locked in there. They're going to have at least four races, you know.
Well, Mike Titoyan told us when we just flat out asked him that they are here for the long haul. Yeah. They're not here for a four-year deal.
Right.
You're not going to do all those improvements and do all the things that they're going to spend a ton of millions and millions of dollars to the Super Speedway to be here for 4 years and bounce.
Yeah, I think that's great, because the infrastructure of both tracks, when they're done, they both have lights. So you can have and we have seen the success of midweek racing. I mean, hypothetically, you could do them very close together and do a midweek and do a weekend or however you want to do it. Now, one's a short track, one's not, so you'd have different type of cars and setups. But Dover just had a doubleheader weekend, which was very successful. So they're learning things about the schedule that they always wanted to try but had to because of the pandemic that they can now apply. So I feel like the Super Speedway, they're going to do what needs to be done to make the racing the best that it can be, One thing that I said when this all came about, because, you know, you brought it up and others were asking me, well, the racing wasn't great out there. Well, you're right. The cars have changed. They now have different things they can put on the track, the PJ1 traction compound that has changed the racing a lot. So they can do that and make the racing the best that it can be out there and change that. And then, you know, you get people going. But that's going to be the big thing. If you want racing at the fairgrounds, you do have to – this is where they do affect one another. Go support the Super Speedway, because if they're selling that thing out, whether it's $25,000 or $50,000 or whatever they decide to do, if you're selling that out, then you're going to make it even more of an incentive for NASCAR to go, yep, we need more than one race in the Nashville market. And so fairgrounds, we want to come back because of the history, and everybody loves a short track, and we want more short tracks. If you can get that done, then boom, we're there. But, you know, if nobody goes out to the cup race at Gladeville, then that's obviously going to be a problem. So that's where they do affect one another.
Well, the NASCAR will be dead in this market, because I don't believe that for a minute. Yeah. They're going to sell out. It's going to work.
I think so.
It's absolutely going to work. But, you know, if it doesn't, if it flops, then, you know, this market doesn't deserve a cup race. But I don't believe that for a minute. I don't. I believe it's going to be a home run. I believe it is going to work. This market has been thirsting for a cup race for a long time. It's been gone for decades, as we know. And it's going to work. But if it doesn't for some reason, then we have no business talking about it again. Like, it just needs to not be in this market, because we don't deserve it. But I don't think we're going to have that conversation.
No, I don't think so either. I truly believe, I know we're about to do this is what I know. This is what I know. I think in a few years, probably 2 to 3 years to be realistic, this market will have two cup races, one at the fairgrounds and one at the Super Speedway. I believe that'll happen.
I think two is probably a little frisky.
Plus a Nashville SC team in the MLS with a new stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that can all work over there. It's just getting everybody on the same page and getting things moving. You know, and I'm not saying that, okay, well, you gotta have one or the other. You can have both. And I believe both entities want to have both. So there's enough. I mean, the track's already there, and my whole thing has been with the stadium of, if you're Nashville SC, do you want to have a dumpy old racetrack next to your brand new stadium? No. So fix up the racetrack and then have a
40,000 seat short track.
Yes.
Beautiful new facility. Yeah. Boy, that whole area would just be popping.
That's just my question is, how does Nashville SC and how do the people that have been on the fairgrounds project with the dream of bringing a race back there, upgrading that facility, all of that stuff that they fought for, do they see this Dover thing as a good thing? Does it affect them? Or is this a competing thing that could affect them somehow? That's just my question, with me having no idea what the answer is.
Well, you know, I would say stop dragging your feet. It doesn't matter what you think. You know, you had your opportunity. That's the first focus was at the fairgrounds. And then the city, the mayor, they're dragging their feet. So, you know, this was the wake-up call, as we talked about. This was NASCAR going, Nashville, let's go. You know, we've been trying to have – we're telling you, we want to be there. We want to come to your city. We want a cup race in your market. And, you know, so get your stuff together. That's all I'd have to say.
So
who
they
cares?
Are in your mind, Darren.
Yeah, they are competing.
Yeah,
doesn't mean they both can't exist.
Right.
Because Chase has the vision that they're both going to work together sort of in lockstep and they can benefit one another. I can see both happening. I can see both situations happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to work together, because we've never seen it. There is no other market. It would be unique in the entire sport. So I don't know how I would know. I don't know how Chase would know how they're going to handle it, because we have no examples of it. There is no system that we can look at. There's no data. There is no other market on the NASCAR schedule that has two different ownership groups, you know, on two different weekends.
Well,
we don't have any idea.
The closest thing to that is way back when they first started going to Indianapolis, the Cup Series was the only NASCAR series that raced at IMS, which is owned now by Roger Penske, but that was the George family at the time. Everything else, the Truck Series, the then Busch Series, Xfinity Series, was at a place called Indianapolis Raceway Park, which is now, I think, O'Reilly Raceway or something like that. Those were two different ownerships. Granted, it was not Cup race, you know, IMS Cup race at both places, but it was two different ownership groups. So that's the closest example I can give you to that. I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's an issue at all. So, and they'll probably get two different weekends, which is how I would do it. I think that you do a Saturday night race at the fairgrounds and then Sunday afternoon out at the Super Speedway, even though they both have lights, and I'm a huge, huge fan of night racing, but I think that that's what you do. It is a wake-up call for the fairgrounds, for the city of, okay, they want you, they are throwing themselves at you, now you gotta make it happen.
But can they work? Can they both coexist? Yeah. How will they work together? I don't have a clue. But I know they both can coexist. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, it's there are different ownership. I know it's the same market, but like there are different ownership groups of track. Like Dover Motorsports is an ownership group. I am International Speedway Corporation is an ownership group. Indy is its own ownership group. You have NASCAR that owns I'm blanking on the name of that company, but International Speedway Corporation. So that's an ownership group. They all work together. They all coexist. So I mean, I don't see that being a huge issue. I think it'll be fine.
Well, when you say they work together, what do you mean? They work together.
I mean, they're all part of scheduling and working with NASCAR.
That's just natural in anything. I mean, there's 32 NFL owners. They have to work together on things.
Yeah,
I mean,
so why wouldn't that be the same in this
situation?
But
we're not talking about two NFL teams in the same market. I don't know how they would do that.
Well, New York's done it for a long time.
Yeah. They have. Yeah.
Actually, sure.
And LA is now.
And LA is now. So
I actually thought about that. Are we the New York of NASCAR? I mean, potentially, maybe that's the case. I mean, I guess it could be that way. But Darren, I think what you're saying is competition could bring out the best
in
everybody.
Absolutely.
Right, in theory.
For sure.
So I'm hoping that that's the case. But I can also see the leadership of the city. The city's got a lot going on. Right. If it's up to the city's got a lot of things. I mean, we've got the whole baseball thing down the road. We got the football stadium that we've got to address down the road somewhere. There's a lot happening. So I can see getting lost in the shuffle with that MLS having, hey, the fairgrounds. Hey, we already got the event out in Dover. So let's work on something else. I can see that happening. Can you?
Sure. Here's
I hope not.
Yeah, but I hope not. I hope that it works out. But here's the thing. And this is where the city has to, we have to see how they're going to respond. Because the best analogy I have is if, you know, like you're in school and there's the girl and you know, like, okay, she likes me. I know she likes me. I like her. But I'm not going to ask her out yet. I'm just, you know, I got other things going on. I'm hanging out with my buddies.
I'll circle back around.
Well, then all of a sudden here comes Dave. Dave asks her out. She's like, well, I don't have anything going on. Sure, Dave. I'll go out with you. And that's exactly what happened here. And
absolutely.
Now you're like, it's happened. Crap. Even though you know, okay, she still likes me. I can throw the Hail Mary. I got a chance, but now you just got to make the move.
Right, but you missed your shot.
Right. And so I do, like I said, I think probably 3 years is probably better. You know, that's more realistic. They could have both. They'll have the Super Speedway, and then they'll have the fairgrounds.
This is what I know on the other side to close out the second hour. 3 years. I've been talking about Cool Springs MD for longer than 3 years. They've been around since 2007. And you know why I talk about them? Because I go there and they've helped me over the years, just like they've helped a lot of you here in Middle Tennessee with improving your quality of life. And who doesn't want that? And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge over at Cool Springs MD is the board-certified physician. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff are there to help you, man. They house a lot of things under one roof. Hormone replacement therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. You felt sluggish. You haven't felt yourself. Well, you might want to get in there and talk to them about that. You may have really low numbers. That tends to happen as we get older. and they have things that can get you feeling young again, feeling like yourself again. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is critically important, especially in 2020. Maybe your place that you work out has been closed a lot during all of this, and you've just gotten out of your routine, and you've put on some extra pounds that you're trying to get rid of. Well, we know that being in good shape right now, being healthy right now during coronavirus is vitally important. Well, they got programs and people that can put you and headed in the right direction ASAP. If you'd like to schedule a consultation or an appointment, dial 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. You'll pull into their beautiful facility there in Cool Springs right off 65. You'll let them know that you're there. They'll call you, text you, and let you know when it is time to safely come in for your visit. If you need to see and learn everything about them, it's very simple. Go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
We do want to know what you know. It's TWIC time. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. The best, This Is What I Know, will win a $25 gift card to Bailey's Sports Grill. It's a really good prize.
Good spot.
Yeah, really good prize. All you have to do is...
Ooh.
Participate and check in with us. Tell us what you know. It's very open-ended. Like, for example, Friday we had You Just Made the List. And for that, I put Mike Milbury on the list.
I enjoyed that, by the way.
That was something that I felt needed to be done and kind of took issue with NBC and NBC Sports. Like, you've just got to have a better option than Mike Milbury. It's just time. It's time. And over the weekend, that's exactly how it played out. Now, look, you can believe the release or whatever that Mike, you know, stepped down, you know, he resigned, whatever. Okay, that's optics. He was fired, okay? And he deserves to be fired because...
And he deserves for them to actually say he's fired. I hate these optics and that he stepped away. That's such crap.
Yeah, well...
But is he fired for good?
I think so. What do you mean? Is he fired for good?
Well, the release says
they haven't said it.
Yeah,
he's
the release
leaving the bubble.
Sure, and that he's not doing the rest of the playoffs. So you can read what you want to read.
So
into
what happens
that,
but, next season? That's the question.
I think the outcry will be so huge if they trotted him back out there that it just there's no way it would work, and rightfully so. They deserve for it to be, you know, it should be. Overwhelming people going absolutely bonkers like people did. I'm sure you guys read Katie Strang, what she wrote, right? I mean, it was brutal toward Milbury. And like I said, rightfully so. I mean, it's like how many more times are they going to let him and defend his actions? It's just time. I think if they try to trot him back out there, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know if they're trying to figure out his buyout, what they owe him. To me, it seems like they're just doing a lot of legal stuff because I can't imagine that they're going to trot him back out there on set, whether it's in a booth or on set next season, because they'll just get crushed. It just won't work. Like, I think he's done, if you're asking me. That's what I know.
This is what I know. Darren, I think you probably played. I don't know this, but I do know that the appropriate song in Washington, D.C. should be Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. It was playing all throughout my head yesterday by Cinderella. And isn't there a guy from Cinderella that lives in Nashville?
Yes.
Yep. So
I think it's the bass player.
The Washington Capitals fired Todd Reirden as their head coach after 2 years replacing Barry Trotz. He was on Barry Trotz's staff when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. For those that don't know, Barry Trotz was on the hot seat during the season in which they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. There were at least 2 points in the season where it looked like it was all but inevitable. that Trotz would be fired and they would hire Todd Reirden. They won the Stanley Cup. Barry Trotz's contract was up. They lowballed him. And so Barry Trotz takes the Islanders' job. They hire Todd Reirden, who a lot of people thought they wanted to hire all along. They got their wish, and they have not won a playoff series since. Todd Reirden now is gone, and they start over. Isn't that crazy how that works in sports when you think you have all the answers, and it just would have maybe taken a little swallowing of pride to say, you know what, we won with Barry Trotz. Maybe we were wrong about Barry Trotz. Maybe the guy is pretty special, and maybe it's worth a little more to maybe swallow our pride and go to Barry and say, Barry, we screwed up. We want you here. We want your people here, but it didn't work, and this is the path they took, and now Todd Reirden's looking for a job.
Yeah, what's the status of Brian McClellan?
That's a good question.
I mean, he's the one. I mean, if you're the GM, man, you got to answer those questions too, pal. You made that decision. How could he be in good standing right now in Washington?
He can't be.
I don't think so.
Don't you just love those stories, by the way?
Oh,
yeah.
I just love, like, just Barry just sticking it to them, man. Just sticking it to Washington. Gosh.
There is, whenever something like that happens, there's a Rowdy Roddy Piper gif that I love that he's just got this just smirk on his face, like, yeah, I told you. Like, I'm the man. That's exactly what Barry Trotz, I hope Barry Trotz is thinking right now.
The other thing that I know is I'm enjoying so much having all these games to watch. I'm watching so many games right now, I have to check myself. Sometimes I look at my watch and I'm like, wait a minute, how long have I been sitting here? I got to get up and walk around a little bit. I mean, we went all these months with no games. I'm so much enjoying just watching. There are some budding superstars going on right in front of our eyes right now. Luka Doncic, with his game yesterday, his play, incredible. Donovan Mitchell for the Denver Nuggets, 50 points last night. This guy at Louisville, his freshman year, didn't even start. He started like five games, and now here he is getting 50 points in a playoff game. Fernando Tatis Jr. out in San Diego. My gosh, this guy is unbelievable, some of the plays he's making and the balls he's hitting. I'm so happy that we have games to watch. I'm overjoyed.
This is what I know. I wish Dansby had not tried to tie it up there. He got thrown out at the plate. I was hoping that they'd live to fight and come back and win that game, but got thrown out. That's how it ended.
Really, not even close.
No, it wasn't. That was a bad move. That's not actually what I know. They were just showing highlights of it, and Willie brought up the games. This is what I know. I have liked how we have adapted with takeout food and Postmates and Uber Eats and all of that, and that you now have the option that they can just leave your food at the door, and you can, you know, you can just go out and pick it up. You don't have to have contact with the driver because of COVID, not because you don't want to have contact with the driver, but they can just leave it at the door. What I know is also what I suggest to these drivers. Don't set the food right in front of the door where you can't open the door.
Yeah.
Because that has happened to me a few times.
Yeah, that's
where
the door opens out.
Yeah, yeah. They literally set it right in front of the door, and I go to open it and I'm knocking my food over.
Yeah. Your drink is spilling? Oh, no.
Yes. There was one time I had to like go out another door and go around. And,
oh, boy.
You know? Because I was going to knock the drink
door,
over.
Back door, go around.
Yeah. And like,
go out the window.
I appreciate the thought. I appreciate the thought process here of you're leaving it where I can clearly see it, but you have to allow me to open the door. That's what I mean.
Can you slide the door slowly and slide the bag back so it doesn't tip
sometimes,
over?
Sometimes it's a process. Sawyer does not help that process because he just wants to bolt out the door. But sometimes you just have to go around. It's too far up against the door. So,
are you okay going back door, or does back door make you mad?
It makes me a little mad.
Yeah.
Makes it inconvenient.
Okay. All right, let's get some phone calls in here. Barrett, what do you know?
Hey, gentlemen, this is what I know. I believe it was last week you had on the Braves announcer, Paul Byrd.
Yes.
Yes.
Man, this is what I know. That was one of the best segments of radio I've heard in the last many, many, many years. That dude is awesome. I really don't care at all about baseball in any way. Ever since Bonds broke Aaron's record, I just haven't cared. But I wanted to come back and watch baseball highlights, and I did for hours that night. That guy was really well-spoken, had great stories. I liked his conviction. I liked his thoughts on the game, and I liked the way you guys interviewed him. I just thought that was pretty fantastic.
Wow. So he had you watching baseball highlights that night from that interview?
I came back, and I found a channel, and I watched highlights of baseball, and I missed the stuffed animal getting hit in the head. It was Web Gems was a segment, and it went on for a good while. And
okay.
I hadn't looked at that in many, right. many, many years. But any chance you have to get him on, I highly, highly request that guy.
Okay.
He's
all
almost
right,
like Hasselbeck. And hey, just real quick, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy
us.
Birthday to the game.
It's coming up this week.
It's coming up this week. Yeah, end of the week. Yeah, thank you.
Well, there you go. Happy birthday, guys. Have a great one.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Barrett. Yeah,
how
we'll have
that?
Some.
You should send that down to the Braves.
We will. We will do that.
Let them know. That's how, you know, Paul Byrd had Barrett watching baseball highlights.
Yeah.
After that interview.
Yeah, Paul is awesome and does a great job on their broadcast. So appreciate that call, Barrett.
He was really good. Again, just a little inside info. You know, we tend to ask for him first. We do talk to other people around the Braves, but we have really enjoyed our conversations with him and tend to ask for him first. And if it didn't work out, that's fine. You know, we'll talk to other folks, but he is typically first on our list. That's how much we've enjoyed talking to him.
Speaking of that, we
agree with Barrett.
And speaking of that, did you see something that came up in the interview? Kyle Wright from Vanderbilt sent back to the minor league camp.
Yep.
So back to the drawing board for the former first round pick. So, and he illuminated so well, you know, what specifically is going wrong right now for Kyle Wright that he's got to correct. So that was just a great insightful interview for sure.
The team is so talented, their lack of starting pitching is going to be what hurts them, because they have the bullpen. We saw it last night. I mean, there are several times that they'll be down and they'll battle back, but you can't rely on that every time if you don't have a starting pitcher that can get you, you know, 5 to 6 good innings. And that's
the best thing they have going for them is everybody in the division has sort of the same problem.
That's what I was going to say. What they have going for them is the division's kind of crap. So,
yeah,
everybody's under 500, but them are right at it.
And right now, two spots in this expanded playoff. I know in the National League, I haven't looked at the American League as closely, but I think at least the last two spots, if not one or more of the second place teams, will end up with a losing record. Right? Like if you stop the season today, I think at least two teams with losing records would be in the playoffs. And I don't know if that's going to change.
Do you think Philadelphia views the Bryce Harper contract as money well spent?
I would say not right now.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, he's
the money spent on who?
Bryce Harper.
Ooh.
I mean, how was their playoff run last year? Oh, wait a minute. And so where do they sit in the division? Oh, they're in last.
What team won the World Series last year?
Yeah, that division. Yeah. That team, by the way, has lost half their team that won the World Series. You know, Rendon went to the Angels. Strasburg's done for the year. They still have a better record than the Phillies. So do you think they think that's money well spent? Say probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
It's, and you could argue it's not really all him. They can't get anybody out in the bullpen. They have all kinds of other issues.
Well, they spent $330 million on him. So maybe that's why they don't have better bullpen. You spend all your money on one guy. It's hard to go out and just keep spending, right? You probably had to cut corners elsewhere.
Well, they spent a lot of money, and it's just not happening for them. It is really something to see. I'm glad to see it, being a Mets fan. It gives the Mets hope with all the stuff that they screwed up.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. We'll head east. We'll bring in Vince Ferrara on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.